Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, October the 17th, and welcome to our commentary. Just a quick heads up, later today, as we like to do on Mondays, we'll be recording The Week in Review. This is a podcast with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda, and we're going to talk about a lot of things, but one of the points that I wanted to make, and I'm going to make with Bill, is what's happening in the state of New York. The governor's race in the state of New York is all of a sudden getting closer. And that doesn't mean that Lee Zeldin, the Republican, is going to win, but it's getting closer. And the governor, the incumbent governor, is starting to hear, if you will, the footsteps of the Zeldin campaign. He's running an excellent campaign. And the governor of New York is running a terrible campaign. If you remember, she replaced Governor Cuomo. And she was never really that well known to begin with, and frankly has not been a very good governor. And as all of you know, the state of New York is losing people, losing business, taxpayers are moving out, and all of this is happening. All of this is happening. And then on top of that, you got a crime problem. So that election, and the point that I will make in the podcast with Bill today, is that on election night, which is a couple of weeks away, keep an eye on that governor's race. If by 9 p.m. Central Time, they have not called that race, that means that the Republican wave in the country is going to be more like a tsunami. Because if Zeldin can keep that election as too close to call into election night, as happened in New Jersey, if you remember a year ago, where all the polls had the governor of New Jersey being reelected by 10 points and he won by less than one. If that happens in New York, then that means that we're not talking about a Republican wave. We're really talking about a Republican tsunami. So keep an eye, make a point of that race when you're following the results, and they show you New York, keep an eye on that race, because that race can be an indicator of just exactly how big the Republican turnout is going to be in 2022. So check our podcast, by the way, with our friend Bill Katz. It'll be up in my blog later this evening, early evening, about 6-7 o'clock. It'll be up in my blog. Well, today we're going to take a little bit of time and look back at something extremely important that happened 60 years ago this week. And I'm talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, it's not often that one can remember or have lived through perhaps one of the scariest moments of the 20th century, but I was living in Cuba at the time. I was 10, and I was living in Cuba at the time when all of this was going on. So I have personal recollection of what was going on. Well, as much as a kid would have, but I have something like this is something that you remember, of course. But in order to understand the Cuban Missile Crisis from 60 years ago this week, October 1962, in order to understand it, you have to understand a little bit of the political context or the what was happening in the world at the time. And I'm going to start with October 1960. October 1960, we have a campaign for president in the United States between Senator John Kennedy and Vice President Richard Nixon. And they're having their debates. And in the second or third debate, I don't remember which one, they talk about Cuba. Senator Kennedy was very critical of the Eisenhower administration. Of course, Nixon was the vice president of that administration. Senator Kennedy was very tough, actually, on Vice President Nixon and the Eisenhower administration, saying that they had not done enough to keep Cuba free. Now, by October of 1960, Castro had not completely moved over to the communist camp. You know, he was flirting with the Soviets, but nothing final yet. But anyway, Kennedy was very tough on the Eisenhower administration, basically saying they had failed in Cuba. Now we move the calendar to April of 1961. Now we have President Kennedy in the White House, and we have something called the Bay of Pigs. The Bay of Pigs turned out to be a colossal failure for the Kennedy administration, because what the Bay of Pigs was a group of Cubans in Miami and outside of Cuba who were put together for an invasion of Cuba, the famous Brigade 2506, made up of a couple thousand Cubans who had volunteered to win, you know, to fight for the liberation of their country. And frankly, when they first got to the island, things were going quite well. But is when they didn't get air support, that's when it all fell apart for them. It turned out to be a colossal failure for the Kennedy administration, to the point that Kennedy had to publicly accept the blame. That's when he had that famous press conference where he said, you know, I'm to blame for this. I'll take the blame for this. And that was in April of 1961. So that consolidated Castro a little bit, but not enough yet. Now we move the calendar to the end of May 1961, a couple of months later. And President Kennedy and Premier Khrushchev met in Vienna. That was a terrible meeting for President Kennedy. He was not very good at that meeting, and he came across as a very weak president. And the word from Premier Khrushchev was, we can push this guy around. He's not tough. And that's what sort of began the idea of putting missiles in Cuba. And for the next 12 months, you had a movement in Cuba toward putting missiles. Missiles came, Soviets were coming to Cuba. At the time, I remember as a 9-year-old boy, the number of Russians in Cuba. They were like flooding the country with Russians. You would see them everywhere, Russians here, Russians there. And at the same time, missiles were also coming into Cuba. So 60 years ago this week, the CIA went to President Kennedy, we got a problem. Those are missiles. Those photographs they're showing you are missiles. And, you know, obviously there were certain considerations that President Kennedy went through. And by the way, I would recommend as a quick lesson, if you will, on the Cuban Missile Crisis, there's a movie that came out, I think 20 years ago, called 13 Days. It's not perfect, that movie, but it'll give you a quick 2-hour lesson on the missile crisis, particularly what was going on in the White House. And so the Kennedy administration began preparing for all kinds of contingencies, including a military strike against Cuba, going in and destroying the missiles. Now we move the calendar to October 22nd, 1962, and that's when President Kennedy addressed the nation and told the country that there were missiles in Cuba, that the United States was prepared to go to war over that. And that's when the President Kennedy announced that there would be a blockade of Cuba, meaning that Soviet ships would not be allowed to come in. And that was pretty risky on the part of President Kennedy because, I mean, they really didn't know how the Soviets would react. But eventually the negotiations went back and forth, and the Soviets did not cross the blockade, meaning the Soviet ships did not challenge the U.S. blockade. Now, years later, by the way, I read that the reason that they didn't do that is because they knew how much stronger the United States was. And also, I mean, their ships were coming into basically American territory, meaning North America. And they just didn't have the ability to support ships that far away from Russia. So, I mean, they were coming in basically into a disaster if they had decided to challenge the blockade. So it went on for several days in negotiations, meetings here and meetings there. And eventually a resolution was settled, and that was at the end of October. Now, the resolution came down to basically this: you take your missiles out of Cuba, and we'll remove some missiles from Turkey and other places that we had. And as a consequence of all of this, you know, President Kennedy came out looking pretty strong, and that brought an end to what could have been really a nuclear war. We were that close. There were a couple of times during the Cuban Missile Crisis where we were that close to fighting or, you know, sending nuclear missiles at each other. Now, as far as Cuba was concerned, we were there. I mean, we would have been the first ones, I get, had there been a military strike from the United States. I mean, we would have been the first ones to go, because we would have been the territory where that strike would have happened. The one criticism that I have of President Kennedy about all of this is that he could have been more demanding of the Soviets to make a political change in Cuba. The fact is that the Soviets understood in October of 1962 that they were no match for the United States, that the United States was so much more superior in every way than the Soviets, that they basically gave up and went home. You know, we gave in a few things, but for the most part, they are the ones who walked away from the fight. And my only regret is that somehow the U.S. government or the Kennedy administration did not demand of the Cuban government, of the Soviets, that they should take Castro with him. Had the Kennedy administration said, yes, you take your missiles, but you also have to take Castro and get him out of power, I think that would have accomplished the political change that the Bay of Pigs did not accomplish. And Castro would have been removed by the Soviets, because the Soviets and Castro during the week of the missile crisis did not have the best of terms, because the Soviets were actually scared of Castro. They thought Castro was going to get him into a nuclear war with the United States. And actually, he almost did. At one point, he fired a missile against an American plane. So the Cuban Missile Crisis, an extremely complicated topic. I've given you a very quick Reader's Digest version of this, but I would recommend, if you're really interested, there are several books. I don't have one in particular that I would recommend, but check them out. There's several of them. And, I think you'll learn more about the one time in our lifetime, the one time in the 20th century, when there was a real threat of a nuclear war. And we were that close. We were that close. I mean, when you put Soviet ships and American ships literally touching each other in the Caribbean, I mean, they were that close to each other. Obviously, the possibility that somebody could push the wrong button was extremely high. So the Cuban Missile Crisis, read something about it. I think you'll enjoy it. Again, check out our podcast with Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. I'll have it up in the blog by sometime Monday evening. And you have a wonderful day. You have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, remembering the Cuban Missile Crisis. Man, 60 years ago this week. I guess that just shows you that we're all getting a little older, doesn't it? All right, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.